But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
Just have to get a catapult and just shoot a cow in the air.
What do dragons eat? Whatever
they
like.
Want. Argumentative people. UFC 244.
244.
Nate Diaz versus
Jorge Masvidal.
The bad MF belt. Maybe if USADA just let us have this. Let us have this, USADA. Stop right. Taking nice things. We are Cage Against the Machine. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by my co-founder.
Brain Damage.
We are the premier podcast for the interconnection between wellness, fitness, combat, sports, martial arts, hip-hop culture, comic books, memes, mama jokes. Am I forgetting anything?
Probably.
If you're tuning in through our video on YouTube, now is the time where you like and subscribe. Or just subscribe. We're trying to get up to 500 followers, but 100 would work. If you're tuning in to our audio podcast, like and subscribe. Get on the wave. Stay on the wave. I would like to talk a little bit before we begin about our sponsors. Shout out to Oil Miners CBD out of Delaware. Hooking us up. Great. Black-owned CBD company. More to come. They think they want us to manage a fighter they have out here. I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing the M word. Also, of course, our number one sponsor in love, Seawolf. For those of you guys who were there at UFC 243, we were at standing room only with people outside watching, as we predicted, the middleweight champion of the world, Israel Adesanya. From Auckland, New Zealand. I'm not psychic. I can't tell the future, but I can tell you what's going to happen. That was very easy to call. Very proud of that camp, and more to come. We'll talk about that. Some other events going on in the world of MMA this week and catching you up for the last month. What has happened so far? Greg Hardy, if you're interested in that fight, if you thought JDS versus Volkan in Moscow was interesting, we have now found out that JDS has been hospitalized. He will be replaced by Greg Hardy.
Yeah, finally he's going to face some real competition.
Absolutely.
Alexander Volkov is a savage, man.
He really is.
So
he really is. This is going to be real.
It's going to be technique versus power, and
yeah,
going to be Hardy's first real test.
And we'll come back to Hardy and his controversial little moment he had a week ago. Another card that's being added, or fight that's being added to the next card, 245, that I'm very excited about. Jose Aldo versus Marlon Moraes. So Jose Aldo going down from 145 to 135.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
At his age, woo boy, I hope he can make the weight. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy because, you know, Jose Aldo is basically the GOAT of featherweight. I mean, I know a lot of people's putting it on Max right now. I know Max is at the height.
No,
he's my favorite fighter, but he still has a long way to go to live up to Jose's legacy. And for him to move to 135 this late in his career, I mean, maybe he knows something we don't.
Well, 145 has radically changed since Max got there. I mean, ever since Voldemort came in, and it's a change. So let's see what happens at 135. It needs the shakeup. We think that if he beats Moraes, he's next in line against Cejudo.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Is it safe to say that if Moraes beats him, is that a rematch for Cejudo?
Yes. It has to be, especially if he finishes Aldo. Other announcement, Weilang Zhang, the women's strawweight champion.
That was nice, man.
Yeah, it was. Sancho fighters. She says, I'm not interested in fighting JJ. She's not getting any better. I'm not impressed.
I am not impressed.
She's like, I want Namahunas. Sanda versus Sanda. I'm here for that. Where are your disciples at? We're here for that. Thank you.
Now the question is Rose ready to come back? Is she retiring? She's like been...
Yeah!
She's been enjoying her time in her hut and just like...
Right. I've been watching like her hermit, Instagram like, and it looks just... like she might be training again. I'm trying to figure that out. Yeah. Other interesting things is the fight last week. As soon as it happened, I had to call Brain and we just laughed. We didn't even talk. We just laughed for at least 60 seconds. Right. Dominic Reyes washed Chris Weidman.
Yeah, and I was telling him, like, my coworkers do not watch MMA.
Yeah.
But one of my coworkers last day was that day, and they're like, we're all going out to eat. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I got to go watch the fights. You know, I have to do homework for my podcast. And
yeah.
They were like, who's fighting? And I'm like, you're not going to know the names. And they're like, but who? And I'm like, well, Dominic Reyes is going to knock Chris Weidman out tonight. They're like, who's that? I thought you were talking about boxing. Boxing is boring.
Yeah. It's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better. The heavyweights have certainly really woken it up. But then also, I get a little bit suspicious now that the Gypsy King is going to the WWE.
Right.
And I ain't even talking. You know what? I do miss you in that fantasy thing. I do not enjoy when they talk about WWE. Like, I literally be like, can you find these dudes? I do
like, can y'all make your own thread about this?
Speaking of which, I did recently watch The Nature Boy on 30 for 30.
Woo!
Had all those favorite quotes that Deshaun used to sample. Cracking me up. That was sad. That was very sad. Final little MMA note. Tonight at 2 a.m., there is UFC Singapore, which is huge. Another event happening in Asia, which is great for building the market. Sadly for us, this event is happening at 2 a.m.
Right. And... it's crazy because it's Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. Grappler versus grappler.
You know I've been asking for that fight.
Does that mean it's going to be a pitter-patter jab fight?
No, what's ill is when they did the weigh-ins or when they did the face-offs, Askren literally reached his leg down and touched his knee. Like, you know I'm going to do a knee tap on you, right? It's very interesting.
And you know Maya's like, bring me to the floor. I don't care if I'm on bottom or top. You getting choked.
Right.
You getting to tap.
You know, and Askren has been really open about how he was talking about so much of jiu-jitsu is not practical. So this will be very interesting. Now, the question is, if Askren wins, does this once again bring up the concept of the 165, 160, 175 belt?
I hope so, man. I really want that division to split into two.
I agree.
I've been waiting for that and it just makes sense. It's too much of it. Every division is 10 pounds, 10 pounds, 10 pounds. Then you go from 155 to 170 and 170 to 185.
Yep.
It just makes much more sense. And I do believe the gap between 185 and 205, there is no need for a 195 there.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
I used to want it, but now I'm like, I get it.
I would argue they need it because, again, John Jones' last two fights were against 185ers who can't really do it.
They can't make the weight.
They can't make the weight.
I could see it. I can definitely see it because that 195 pound, that would be a great mix of speed and power.
Absolutely.
Like how the middleweight is, but just a 1A.
The phantom weight. The cruiser weight. The murder weight. What is one of the prelims that you're excited about?
You know, I think that I am excited about that Brad Tavares fight.
I knew you were going to pick Tavares. For those of you just tuning into our show, if they are Hawaiian, Brain is going to root for them.
But this guy's a killer that he's going against.
So he is a killer, and let's also go back. Let me tell you why this is very interesting. Tavares is interesting at 185 because he's a disciple of Ray Sefo, who is one of the forefathers of South Pacific, Hawaiian, New Zealand kickboxing. Mm-hmm. He has wars in K-1 and Pride against Mark Hunt, build a legacy.
Right.
Tavares, you may remember, he had the unfortunate circumstance of being knocked out by Whitaker.
Right.
He also lost by decision to a guy named Israel in his debut.
Right.
So he has tasted that pain twice. The gentleman that he is fighting is Edmund Shahbazyan.
Yeah.
Who was a training partner of Ronda Rousey and is a disciple of her coach.
Oh, so that's where he comes from.
So I would suggest to Brad, if you're listening, you really need to focus on things that make head movement impossible because your opponent won't have any.
I think he's going to have to rely on his wrestling to win this fight.
I agree. I think that's where it's going to come to, too. We will see what happens. That's mine. You know what's also another interesting one that I want to see what's going to happen? I can't pronounce his name, but Rozenstruik?
Yeah.
The Suriname kickboxer?
Jair Zinho something like that?
Yeah, him versus Orlovsky.
That guy's a killer.
I feel like if Rozenstruik wins, we should bring back Bully Beatdown.
I really enjoyed that.
That show was incredible. I don't understand why we don't have that show
anymore. Right.
That was the best show ever.
Especially these days, bullies need to get beat down.
And publicly.
Punch up up to get beat down. Yeah, man, this dude is 8-0 with 7 knockouts.
Straight up. It's going to get
beat down. And I want to say, dude, he has, in his last 3 fights, it was a total of like 6 minutes. Six and a half minutes.
Did you
because
see
he
that?
He had 2 10-second knockouts and a 50-second knockout.
Did you see the episode of Dana White's Contender Series where he came in?
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, he came in, he got taken down, gets back up standing, bloop. Dude's dangerous. He's very interesting.
And
he's
interesting. Orlovsky, he's been around the block, but his last few years ain't been great.
Nah, man. Just lost a friend, and he's jumping around camps. It's the fourth quarter, as they say. By the way, you may notice
he's going in there as a Brooklyn Brawler at this point.
Oh, you're so wrong. He said Brooklyn Brawler.
Mm-hmm. Barry Horowitz.
Oh, you're so wrong. So wrong. What's the other one's name? What was the Irish dude?
Irish dude.
And WCW.
I don't remember that one.
It'll come
I almost thought you were talking about Bob Backlund for a second.
Yeah, him too. Chicken That's wings. Another one. Yeah. That's another one. Yep. Fit Finley.
Fit Finley,
straight up.
Oh, man.
Chef, we're going to put you in Ohio and develop you. You may notice we're missing a member. Adisa was unable to make it. He was off training for the U.S. Open, so in the Masters, so, you know, jiu-jitsu tournament, so best of luck to you. You don't need luck because you've been putting in hours in the gym. But also, you can catch me. I was actually on his Bishop Chronicles that premiered this week. You can find it on Spotify tomorrow morning. You can see it on Farsight TV, 9 and 5 all week. We talked about a lot of things, especially a controversial fight that happened in Oakland, if you know what I'm talking about. So it was a very interesting show. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You guys take care of yourself and we'll be right back. Those of us tuning into the live, don't go anywhere. We are bringing the cheerleaders in a second. And we are black.
And brown.
And
red.
Everything in between. We are talking about UFC 245. Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal in Madison Square Garden for the Bad MF belt. Which a certain Kobe Covington would call the Journeyman belt. Or maybe it's
Kobe Covington is irrelevant.
Yeah, he is. Maybe it's the preview. Maybe it's the preview to the 165, and we're just not admitting it. We're gonna start off with this main card. We have Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie. Lee is an interesting case. I've said this before. He is somebody that when he first started off, I felt like he ran his mouth way too much, and I really did not enjoy watching him fight because his brash attitude did not match his abilities. I saw him interviewed on Rogan and I said, you know, this dude is like really deep and smart. And if he would let that side of him out a little bit more and win more, he could be something. So I like his self-reflective intelligence. I think we need to see more of it, but he has not been winning fights, whether it's 170 or 155.
1-3 in his last 4 fights.
So he recently has been trying out different training camps, and apparently he has been at this camp for the totality of it up at TriStar with Frost and Bobby. I am very intrigued to see what happens with this fight because Lee could be that guy. However, he is facing against
Gregor Gillespie, man, this guy is on the tear. 13-0. This guy's finishing everybody. Only has 2 fights that he didn't finish. And, you know, he well-rounded, you know, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions.
Yep.
It's not like he's just a one-trick pony. He's got cardio for days. This guy's, I think he's going to make some noise in the UFC.
Here's why Gregor Gillespie is scary. He is a collegiate wrestler who has beat everybody. The only person he couldn't beat was Jordan Burroughs. And if you know who Jordan Burroughs is, you know, it's just that scary.
Right.
So his attitude was like, I never meant to fight, but if you can't beat Burroughs, I might as well go to MMA. Because I'm not going to get past this dude in the Olympics. He flatlines people. He ends them with his hands, with his feet, with his grappling. Gregor Gillespie is really, really scary.
And when he smells the blood, he goes for it. He's only seen the third round.
Yeah,
in one fight in the UFC.
Straight up,
his debut was a decision. After that was just.
Yeah,
he doesn't even go past the second.
Joel Romero at 170 almost. So this is very interesting. Although I wonder if the mindset. I know that Gregor is a competitor. We know that he is a wrestler. I wonder if he's got some crowd. I have a lot of faith in Firas Zahabi. I mean, his science has worked. So I feel like this is going to be a war, and I feel like it'll end up Lee by split decision, but he will be definitely very bloody by the end of this.
Mm-hmm. I got Gregor by TKO, but I didn't know that Kevin Lee was training with Firas, who always puts together a great game plan.
Yeah.
And does well in studying his opponent.
And you can only do so much, right? Fighters. You can put the roadmap out, but if the driver is not following, you know, there's not enough gas in the tank and all those things. So you can only do so much. We're moving on to our next fight, which is Brains, one of his favorite fighters.
Oh, yeah. The Black Beast.
Houston's own Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, versus Blagoy Ivanoy. Houston, first of all, you need to stand up. Shout out to Face. Shout out to Willie D. Rest in peace, Bushwick. Shout out to Devin. So many good things to come out of Houston.
Right.
Barbecue, pecan pies.
Pecan pies. I do like me some pecan pie.
Yeah, with the little cream on it, man.
No cream.
Yeah, no, because we went dairy-free. Derek Lewis, the god of Instagram humor. He puts one post out, you laugh for days. That fool was it. And I really enjoyed early on in his career where he was really good at showing up to middle America and making fun of people. Like, see what you do? He puts his hands on you, you go to sleep. At the same time, you've got Blagoy Ivanov, who, if you haven't heard me say before, you need to look up this man. This fool has been stabbed in the neck and his lungs, got into a cab, and went to the hospital and checked himself in.
Crazy.
This dude is tough. Tough! Masterful kickboxer. Masterful combat sambo guy. And he likes to knock people out with belly kicks. He does. Okay? So I think, for me, the key is the takedown defense of Derek Lewis. Can he stop the shoots of Blagoy? I love you, Derek Lewis. I feel like this is probably going to be Ivanov by decision.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling about this one. But given that Lewis is on a two-fight skid, even though one of them was a title shot, I feel like he really needs this win. And I feel like I haven't seen him on Instagram as much, so I know he's been taking this one serious. But this is a dangerous guy he's fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of these guys got knockout power anywhere they go.
So yes, yes.
It's going to come down to cardio, and Lewis.
Plus that back.
It's not been the best.
No.
But, you know, make sure you take a dump before you go out there this time, Derek.
I still remember his comments about Ngannou. Oh, my brother, you must get on the treadmill.
I need you to win so you can say something hilarious in the post-fight interview.
Yeah.
My balls is hot.
That man. With that lisp, that man is just too funny. He's just a bad little kid. Our next fight, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus Vicente Luque.
This one is nuts.
This is phenomenal. Stephen Thompson, whether you like him or not, is exciting. If you like throwing leather, if you like striking, if you enjoy it, if you ever hit pads, if you ever done any work, boxing, kickboxing, this guy is incredible. And his ability to move his hip and turn and just put his foot back on your chin like it's as simple as a punch, unparalleled. He's incredible. He knocks people out with his feet. His kicking is amazing. But he's facing Vicente Luque, who was super competitive on the Ultimate Fighter, the same season that gave us Kamaru Usman, from the same camp,
right.
A product of Henry Hoost's Combat Club and Keeping It Simple. Luque has been pretty nasty on a tear, and he's proven recently, you know, in the recent fights, if you pressure him and you start damaging him, he is going to give it back tenfold.
Right, and right now he's on a 6-fight streak.
Dude.
5 of those being finishes. This guy was 7-4-1 before he entered the Ultimate Fighter house and has been 10-2 since.
Yeah.
Lost his UFC debut and hasn't lost other than a decision to Leon Edwards.
Right.
Just finishing everybody. So
yeah.
I feel like Stephen Thompson is one of those, they're always talking about how he's a puzzle. He has this different, the karate style that he brings. It's hard to get to, but I feel like there's been enough tape out there that Luque, he's coming for blood.
Well, I think we saw it with Tyron Woodley, and I think a lot of people didn't like it because we thought, you know, he figured out the puzzle.
Right.
And the real thing is you got to train with enough karate guys and enough blitzers to understand that style.
Right.
And I think for many people who were fans and not fans, those were boring fights. But you got to give credit to Woodley to be able to figure that out and completely negate Thompson and knock him down twice.
Yeah.
A guy who doesn't get knocked down.
And let's be real, those were close fights. The first one was a draw. The second one, Woodley won outright. But it wasn't like he just went out there and starched him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It was a close fight. Lost his last two, you know, with the Showtime Pettis knockout. He wasn't ready for that. I feel like the smart money's on Thompson, but I just got a gut that tells me that Luque is going to knock him out.
Right. Which kind of, I think it's actually Luque will get him by submission. I think if it goes to the ground, I believe that Luque is the stronger grappler.
Definitely.
Which isn't a great transition into... I feel like, did I miss a fight? Did I skip a fight?
Yeah, what happened to Anderson and Johnny Walker?
Yeah, we should have talked about that, man. I somehow that's on the prelims.
What?
Yeah, and we should be talking about it. So I'm going to break protocol. That we should be talking about this. There's no reason. See, they keep curving this dude. They keep curving Corey Anderson.
Is it they don't want him to fight Jones? I mean... is it basically the winner of this fight is fighting?
I would agree, because these are actual real 205ers, right?
Right.
So let's go back a minute. Corey Anderson, I don't know what your new name is right now, and I don't care. That's how I'm gonna like you. If you don't talk about your nickname, I'll be fine. Versus Johnny Walker. I'm self-admittedly, I've never been the biggest fan of Corey Anderson's style or his nickname. In fact, it was pretty embarrassing. I will say, once I saw him interviewed on Rogan's podcast, once I did a little bit more of looking at him, and I also liked his stance against some of the buffoonery that Jones was doing when he changed fights out of Vegas to California.
Right.
I've appreciated and learned and come to change my opinion on this guy. Also, you know, I'm a big fan of where he trains. He's around Mark Henry, Frankie Edgar, my guy who's fighting actually tonight, Muslim Sokolov, right? It's a beat.
Right.
But he's fighting Johnny Walker, who has really impressed people with his ability to knock people out in the first round. But some of the people he's fought, I'm like, should they even be in there with him?
Right.
And this is a guy whose biggest damage that's been done to him is he did it to himself celebrating in the ring. I have yet to see Walker outside of the first round. I have also yet to see him face a grappler.
Right.
I suspect Anderson will call his number.
And the thing I appreciate about Anderson is, you know, he's won his last three, but before that, he got knocked out twice in a row.
Yeah.
So he went back and made the adjustments and was like, I am not putting myself in danger anymore. And a lot of people look at that as, oh, his style is boring, and it's not the most entertaining. Everybody's looking at Johnny Walker. He's an entertainer. We want to see him knock people out. And I agree. I think his wrestling has not been tested, and we're going to find out. If he can keep this fight standing, he's going to end up getting a knockout. But if not, he's going to be a turtle on his back for 15 minutes getting beaten on.
And Anderson is interesting because he self-admittedly says, you know, here's the game plan. And the minute I deviate, the two times I deviated from the game plan, I got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
So and,
Ever since then, he's on a three-fight streak.
He's like, I just do what my coaches told me to do, which is very interesting. We're going to take another break. Shout out to our sponsors, Seawolf. By the way, if you want to watch the fight with us, we'll be there November 2nd, Seawolf, Oakland, California, 4th and Webster. It is a great environment to watch MMA in the East Bay and maybe probably the best bar to watch MMA in the Bay Area. Also, Oil Miner CBD. Check them out. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere there on live. Yeah!
Fight!
Fight! Round three, fight! We are back at perfection. Yeah, I can. We had a little request. We are back. Cage Against the Machine, round zero. UFC 244.
Four. And this Diaz. Is the 500th UFC event. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
The 500th? UFC event.
Versus, that is amazing. That's crazy. That's a great ceremony. That's why they're Madison Square. That makes sense.
Madison Square, BMF.
BMF.
Baddest.
Bad MF. Does not stand for Black Mafia Family. We were asked in the break by those tuning in. Our first sponsor is spelled SEAWOLF. Seawolf. Like Jack London. I know my Florida accent's a little rough. The second one, oil.
Oh, I'm about to.
O I L M I N E R S C B D, which stands for Central Business District. No, I'm kidding. thank you for hooking it up very much. We are here to talk about the co-main event. Why is this main event very important? Let me set the stage. The answer, a question here. One of these men has just moved up from 170 where they have been very unsuccessful and probably shouldn't have been in 170. And there was a hype train allowed them to be there.
Well, they were successful up until the last couple of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's all fun and games till you get to the UFC, right?
Right.
The other gentleman, just literally almost a year ago, or earlier this year, fought for the interim belt at 185 and was about to fight for, and not even then, he was about to fight for the title in Australia. This is really great because what it will do is answer this question of who's going up next in line for the 185 belt. We have Gastelum, Kelvin Gastelum, an incredible wrestler who has added in some great kickboxing under Rafael Cordero. Some boxing under Jason Perillo. And, you know, as a managed by Ali Aziz. But one of the challenges that I've always felt like is he's had a long history of running through older 185s.
Yeah.
His record is not necessarily, he's not facing off against, you know, it's interesting even when he had that fight with Weidman, because I would accuse him of those two of the same thing, that they got to fight against these aged, wised 185ers and they're not dealing with the young bucks.
Right.
At the same time, we are dealing with Darren Till, who will be, who's a kickboxer out of London. Maybe that's not even London, but maybe where else is he from? England, somewhere in England. Somewhere, I can't tell the difference. I know I'm getting so much trouble after this. I should know this already. This will be an interesting contest because we can probably bet that the winner of this is going to see the winner of the next 185 contest. So when Robert Whittaker recovers, he's going to see either the winner of this fight or he's going to see Yoel Romero again. And these we're counting up who's going to add up to see Israel after he destroys Paulo Acosta. Yeah, I said it. It's not a secret that Till does not have any wrestling.
Right. He's going to go in there and he's going to swing. And he's one of those guys that he's either going to knock somebody out or he's going to get knocked out.
So, yeah, if he can't stop the takedowns, this fight ends very early, as we saw. You know, Tyron Woodley, once he got him down, it was over.
Yeah.
Which is a compliment also to Woodley's abilities. The question I have is, if he can stop the takedown, can Gastelum deal with Till's power?
I think he can. I mean, I don't know, though, because, you know, Till's fought at 170. So this being his first time at 185, he doesn't have to cut as much weight. He's going to bring his power with him and have a little bit more speed.
Yes, and the cardio.
And, I mean, Israel surprised me the way he knocked Robert out. I didn't see that coming. I thought he'd pick him apart. But the way that him and Gastelum went to war, Gastelum took all of that that the champion couldn't.
Gastelum fought a very different fight than Whitaker.
Right.
Gastelum stayed on the inside and was willing to take a lot of damage, but it also did not
He was taking a lot of damage.
But he also he didn't put himself at the end of Israel's range, and he didn't give him a lot of counters.
Okay, I could see that.
Robert fought exactly the fight you're not supposed to fight against Israel.
Right.
With those blitzes and those zigzags.
He played for it dearly.
Yeah, he did. With that final exchange where it's like, clip. Right? Yeah. And you know, I knew he had it, too.
Even at the end of the first round, he got saved by the
bell. And Deshaun would tell you. Even that round when it happened, I looked over at him like, I gave him that death look like, here it comes.
I was telling Diane the same thing. I was like, I don't think it's going to go too well for him tonight.
I knew as soon as he got that roundhouse off and then came with the right hand, I was like, okay, sorry. I love you, Robert. You know I love you, bro. Yeah, I love both of you guys.
And he took that loss with class.
But that's what makes him great. And he'll come back. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
Mark my words. It's only December next month or something. He'll be back fighting Gastelum and getting the fight by February. This division has never been more fun.
Right.
This is great. So my bold prediction is Till by KO.
I like it. Gastelum by decision. Okay. But I could definitely see, like you said, if Gastelum doesn't respect Till's power.
Yeah. This will be interesting. All right. Now it's the time that you really tune into us for, that you really want to know, because we understand if you didn't have us, you wouldn't know how to watch UFC. You want to be able to talk to people at the cooler on Monday and say, yeah, I watched that fight. And you want to say something cool. So then you steal the language and the swag of Cage Against the Machine, and we give it to you so it's not stealing. We're going to show you the moment you tuned in. It's my favorite time. It's Brain's favorite time. It's Double D's favorite time. It's your favorite time. And it is now time for the main event of the evening. Fighting! And that's as much as you're going to get out of a Bruce Buffer out of me. We know what this is. Nate Diaz, did you notice my shirt? This is not the original. This is actually Nick Diaz. And I went and saw this fight with my good friend here, which is where we came up with Cage. But I don't really have an event with Nate on it, and I'm not going to fly to New York City for this event. So I thought I would just have one Diaz name. Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal. The BMF is here. I'm going to say this one last time. Dana, Ari, Sean Shelby, USADA, let me have nice things.
Right.
Let me have nice things.
And they keep saying that Nate is not suspended. Why are you even messing with him then?
He's like, clear my name. Clear my name.
The Diaz boys have been messed with by the establishment for quite far too long. So
Josh Shia says that's
throwing him off his game, for one.
Yeah, Josh Shia says this is how they're promoting the fight, since you can't get both people to talk trash.
Right.
I trust my brother. I don't understand how it promotes the fight. I feel like if people think that the guy might not fight, they won't show up. I don't get it.
I just don't understand it. Why are you even putting something in his head? Oh, you might have tested positive for elevated levels of a tainted supplement. How do you know it's a tainted supplement to begin with? If you tested him and you see elevation and then you say tainted supplement, Are there tests that show the difference between? Because how did Yoel Romero sue your ass for $22 million you knew?
He didn't sue USADA. He sued the person who gave him the supplements.
If USADA has that test to tell the difference.
Right, I'm saying.
Then they should have never even suspended him him to sue someone.
Let's forget, 3 months ago, they didn't know what EPO was.
This is supposed to be your standard USADA, Carnet USADA.
I mean, I'm glad they have it, but again, it's got work to do, and you need to admit that type of stuff, right? You need to admit it's got work to do. It's very deep, but you got to admit there's work to do.
Right.
What makes this fight incredible? The parallels are pretty incredible. First of all, if you've seen any of the marketing, they use Grand Theft Auto and Vice City-esque fonts. These are two bad boys. I have really not liked the East-West aspect that they brought to it, the sort of Tupac versus Biggie thing. First of all, Jorge Masvidal's from?
Florida.
Yeah, don't do that. He's from Miami. Don't do that, okay?
We get that it's on the eastern side of the USA, but...
Yeah, and then Nate Diaz is from Stockton, okay? So to do the Tupac thing is also disrespectful. What I do like is the bad boy kind of aspect of how they are kind of like gangster, and they are street, and they don't play the okey-doke, the back-talk stuff, and I like that. So first level, stylistically, Mexican boxing versus Cuban boxing. Very cool. Both of them are aggressive. Mexican boxing characteristically, you know, you don't turn the hand with the jab, and we see that with Nate. We also see a lot of fluidity. We also, the Cuban boxing has an amazing amount of explosiveness from a very slow state, as seen by Yoel Romero. That's going to be really exciting.
Yep.
Cesar Gracie, black belt level jiu-jitsu versus Olympic level Cuban wrestling. That's going to be exciting. I don't actually see Nate getting the takedown, but I don't see him being threatened if he ends up on his back at all.
Right.
And that's fun. Both have deep roots with Taekwondo trainers. Joel Romero's trainer, who's an Olympic level Taekwondo guy at Cuba, is also the same trainer for Jorge Masvidal. Nate Diaz has a trainer by the name of Ernie Reyes Jr., who you may remember from that TV show Sidekicks, and something called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who's actually a really good Taekwondo karate point fighter. They also both have tons of street fighting experience. Most famously, I remember in the early days of YouTube videos and videos, internet videos where you could download it, Brain would come over to my house, which at that time was not too far from here, and I'd click on something and it'd take like 6 days to download. But when it finally downloaded on Real Player, we could watch the video of Kimbo Slice, and I remember watching that original fight between Jorge Masvidal and Ray, Kimbo's disciple. And that was to see that come full circle, right?
Right.
Was very cool because we would talk about his ability to use leg kicks in the fight and say, yeah, that's the stuff we see the guys in Pride doing. So that was very cool. So the keys to victory. What would I say? Diaz's cardio, obviously.
Yeah, his cardio's off the chain.
And I also noticed that he was checking a lot of Anthony Pettis's leg kicks with Muay Thai defenses last time. And it cost Pettis. He wasn't able to use his leg. And it worked really well. So I think that's really one way. The other thing is Masvidal's power, his ability to explode is dangerous.
Right, and these guys are both the type of guys that they're not backing down from anything. They're going to go straight into the middle of the ring, and it's going to be one of those phone booth fights where they're just slugging it out, throwing everything at each other. I think Diaz does have the cardio advantage.
Okay.
I think, as you said, Masvidal has the power advantage. We know that the Diaz boys, even though they don't really have one-punch knockout power, they don't even go in throwing 100% per punch. They throw 70, 70, 70, 70, 70. But that 70, 70, 70 all day builds up to where 40. You're starting to get rocked in the third round.
I'd say 40.
Even less than that.
That's why they can do like that. But it does add up. You're right. It's sort of like Street Fighter. Which button are you going to use, right?
Right.
And if I can keep those those two over on this side.
Willie, right? One move. Willie, right, yeah, right. One move.
Yeah, little Chun-Li in the corner stuff.
I think the youngsters these days call it spamming.
Spamming you with kicks. Mm-hmm. Spamming you with punches. I love it. So who do you think's taking this?
You know, man, I'm a big fan of both. It's hard for me to root against one of these guys, but yeah. Since we're Northern Cali, I'm going to have to go with the Northern Cali gangster and go Diaz.
Yeah, it's really tough, man. Northern Cali versus Florida.
Right.
I'll just be happy to watch.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't want neither one of them to knock each other out. I just want to see a 5-round war. I want to see them hug after the, you know what I mean? Fair. And The Rock is apparently wrapping the belt around the winner. Another Pacific Islander.
Right.
A black Pacific Islander at that.
Right.
So, I hear rumors that this is a one-off thing, but I don't think it should be. I think the BMF title should be defended, even though Diaz says he defended it against Pettis, and now he's defending it against Masvidal.
Right.
There will be a physical belt, and I think this is a moneymaker, man.
I think
Dana, see it.
I think this belt's about to turn into the 165, and they just don't want to admit it. So, we'll see. It's been a great show. We're about to try something in a second. Those of you in TV land, so come on back. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined here by...
Brain Damage.
Everything that you see here, experience, is edited, recorded, and mastered by Deshaun Davis from Dream Air Productions. He has not only got himself a college degree, he has lost a ton of weight, and he wants you to believe that I'd never publicly say anything complimentary. So you see that smile over there? As he loses the argument, we are very proud of our producer. Those of you in Oakland or around the Bay Area, November 2nd, we'll be watching the fight at Seawolf. Come on by, one of our sponsors. Introduce yourself. We'd love to have you. Other than that, thank you to Oil Miner CBD. Those tune in on YouTube, click on subscribe, like. Those on our other channels, subscribe and like. Catch us on Bishop Chronicles. And if you are any further sponsors and you want to sign it up, hit me in the DMs. Other than that, we are Cage Against the Machine, and you know it's that time. Jam! Deshaun has 3 degrees.
Three. Okay.
Three.
Three.
Three. But he don't want to admit. Hi, Goomba. I don't even know who Goomba is, but hi. He don't want to admit and say, oh, I get props from Sweet.
Oh,
look at you.
It went dark.
We'll do that again. Fuck it, we'll go live.
It's just the
moment. So, let's really go there. Let's really go there. Brain, for as long as I've known him, has struggled with asthma. And everywhere we've gone, he's always had to have his breathing apparatus.
The inhaler.
Which is why I try to get him to come and train, and then he doesn't show up. Anyways. Do you think that
I need a different day.
That's not going to work. Do you think that Greg Hardy... You need to make your life change. Do you think that Greg Hardy should have been able to use that inhaler?
No. Have you ever seen anyone in the history of fighting? Boxing, taekwondo, kickboxing, MMA? Stop and say, let me get my inhaler.
Yeah, hold on, but that's my point. What do you think happened to where he felt like he was okay to do that? Why do you think he could ask that?
This is a piece of shit. He doesn't care.
You're on the Eli train, huh?
He is.
I don't know enough about that situation, but okay.
I mean...
You're on the Eli train, huh? I just don't understand you people. I just fundamentally don't understand. How is Greg Hardy a bad guy, but John Jones can be your champ?
I don't mess with John Jones.
True.
You know, I was one of the biggest champions with him coming up, and as soon as he went to Greg Hardy, I was like, I mean, Greg Jackson... See where your mind goes.
I think Volkov is going to end Greg Hardy soon too.
Yes, yeah. Volkov is for real.
Yeah, but I think that, and they keep feeding him cans. Like, what was that? What was that last week? What was that? What was that? Bam Bam's little brother or something.
Soli.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I've never even heard of that guy.
I was trying not to clown. I was like, man, he is the most. He's like, what is this? Like brain on steroids. He's like Polynesian, but he's Italian.
Right, and Puerto like Rican. Some weird mullet.
Yeah, he had the same haircut as the dude that Yanni Walker knocked out in his debut. Damn. The guy who's like, I want to be champion so I can get people to believe in flat earth.
Damn it.
Yeah, that was terrible, bro. That was just terrible. Yeah, he doesn't get any farther. That was some Joker stuff.
But it's the other thing I'm thinking is
speaking
like,
of Jokers, why? I'm not seeing that movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I don't need to see
all
that.
All I
movie.
Hear from people is either you loved it or you hate it. I haven't heard any middle ground.
Deshaun loved it because he's grasping at straws. He's like, anything related to Batman, I'm still holding hope. And then I come up with ridiculously stupid criticisms of MCU movies.
I don't know. For me, I just enjoy them all. Yeah, they're corny, but.
What a corny the Joker movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but like
I won't.
The X-Men's.
No, I'm cool.
Some of the DC movies.
Aquaman. Unless it's MCU, I'm not messing with it. But I am excited about the new stuff coming.
So what? How do you feel about this? Who is it? Marlon Brando or one of them cats talking about how MCU movies are not real cinema?
Yeah. Martin Scorsese.
That guy.
And Francis Ford Coppola. You know the guys who put the money behind something called Star Wars? But it's not a real movie. I mean, you can make mafia films, which have its own mythology forever, right. And that's okay. Right? But when they're like, when you do special effects like that, it's just, you know. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of hater stuff. And every time I try to speak to it, people are like, well, you're not even reading the article. So,
I just don't understand why is there a need for people to say it's like what's the hate about? Just say you don't like the movie. It's fine.
I don't know that
there's
at that
public opinion.
I feel like we're at this point in time where things have become if not everybody is watching the same thing, then you're on attack mode. Like, I agree. There's so much diversity and there's so many other things you can do.
But that's like, it's, you can have your opinion that is different than others and say, I don't really appreciate those movies. I don't really watch them. They're not my style. But then when you say they're not real cinema, you're moving on from opinion and trying to state a fact that I am a cinema maker.
I love you too, and I have no idea who you are, by the way.
Those are not real cinemas.
Yeah, no, how do I want to put this?
It could be different. Like when you guys used to be all about Anchorman, and I was like, that movie sucks.
Right.
That movie is just...
That's not funny. Right, and that's fine. Funny. If that's not funny to you, that's fine. But right. But then if you go, that movie is terrible, then I go, there's a problem. However, the flip side is, if we go to food, it's like this. It's like a control thing. If we go to dinner, and me and Deshaun order a salad, right? And you want to have a pizza.
No, I'm going to get the chicken.
Sure, fine, cool, great. But are you going to spend your time like making fun of my salad?
If it has raisins in it, who the hell puts raisins in a salad?
But see, there we start.
I had a salad at work the other day, and it had raisins and oranges in it. Bro.
I don't like oranges in my salad, but raisins I can fuck with.
Yo, shout out to Dr. Goldman. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. When I have money to afford you, I want my body to change. Thank you. Oh, what up, Christian? How you doing, brother? Good to see you. How's the kids? Man.
He had that salad too.
You know, speaking of which, shout out to Christian again. You know, Menlo. Do you know how many like MMA fighters came out of your alma mater, dude? I'm telling you, War Games, aren't you? See, you should listen to Sweet. That's why I put you in college. So if I'm eating my salad and it has raisins, how does that hurt you?
No, I'm not going to say, oh, that's disgusting, Sweet. Why you got raisins in your salad?
But that's
I'm
going to
say, why did they put raisins
in your salad, right? That's my point. So many people can't sit down and just eat their meal without saying some stuff about you. So it's sort of like an attention fight.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They can't just let us enjoy our Marvel.
Society is just designed around
exactly what you said. We can't just enjoy our Marvel movies. There's got to be a billion Godfathers. How many different Scorsese gangster movies will we watch? Oh, great. This week, Jack Nicholson and, you know, and what's his name? The boy from Titanic. They're going to do some new version of this, but that's okay. That's okay. We're gonna fool you into believing that Jack Nicholson is not on cocaine. But that's not special effects. But it's just control. And then you have a narrative and that makes it safe. So then we get to attack it. That's not real cinema. That's cool. That's fine. It don't have to be real cinema. It don't have to be real cinema, Scorsese.
It's cinema entertainment.
Hey, you know why? You know why it doesn't have to be cinema, Scorsese? You know why it doesn't? How many black people you got in your movie that you don't use the special N-word for?
Right.
How many movies have you made where a black person is the lead character and they're not a criminal? Oh, easy. Okay, we'll move that out of the way. Coppola, next. Next, you got all anything for me? All
right, speaking of Joker, did you see the Saturday Night Live skit that they did
based on
the Joker that was about Sesame Street,
though? Yeah, he made me watch that.
I was crying.
I don't care. Is it DC? I don't care.
No, it's Sesame Street.
Unless we're going to read the comics, I don't care. Because that's the curse of DC. You already have trash heroes who are already mind controllers. So that means their villains are just one step away from it. Wait, did we just discuss this, Deshaun, on Sunday?
But you just said that Scorsese can't criticize them, but then now you're criticizing them.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I don't agree with Scorsese and Coppola, but I do agree with Coppola's wines. His Sofia Rosé is very delicious. But you're allowed to do that. But for them, they're telling the stories of Italian Americans and the common people, like gangs in New York, stuff Guido. Like that. Right, cool, sure. But
I could do that. I'm Italian.
As a black person in America, or as someone of partial African-American descent, right? I don't see myself in your stories, Scorsese. I don't see myself in your stories, Coppola. In fact, when I do see myself, I see the worst parts of history. So I'd rather see a movie about an African king with cool-ass technology. Because that at that point, that's why I need to be reminded of oppression. No, thanks.
Right. I agree.
No, thank you. I'm cool. So, but again, back to the Joker thing. No, I'm cool.
So you said that you didn't. Sorry to switch topics, but you said that you didn't watch The Watchmen. But I remember
I didn't watch the show on HBO.
Right, but I remember when we were discussing The Boys.
Yes.
You said that eventually those two are going to collide.
In the modern comics, they do.
But could that work with Watchmen being an HBO product and Boys being a Hulu? Amazon Prime, right?
That would require a couple things. First of all, you would have to have this underlying theme that says, I care about the fans. You have 10 years of evidence that DC content online does not care about the fans. It's about quick pops. Second of all, you would have to have a czar. A producer who actually can connect that stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Who could say, I can put this all together and make that work. Clearly they don't. It's a civil war amongst themselves. They're all trying to one-up each other.
And is this similar to the whole Spider-Man between Sony and MCU?
So with Spider-Man, what's a great conversation is at least you have Kevin Feige who says, I can make this continuity for MCU. Stuff within the Spider-Verse that is Sony, that's a little bit more adult, but you can, my prediction in the next 2 years, you're going to see Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire, and Andrew Garfield team up and go against Venom and Carnage. And that'll be the Sony
universe. And being the Tom Hardy and Woody
Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
Venom and Carnage.
And that will all be in the Spider-Verse, and then when he comes back to the MCU, I got my own crew, and they're called the Young Avengers. And it'll be teenage, it'll be the kids, it'll be all the kids of the Avengers. Hawkeye's daughter, Iron Lad, you know, things like that. It makes sense. Statue.
Nice.
Right? So you can do that, but that's because you have a Kevin Feige who can make those deals, who, by the way, last week became chief creative officer, which means he can grab all the stuff on Netflix and move it over to Hulu. So now we can have Punisher and Daredevil in the MCU in a maturity level, and they have their own shows, but then you see them do stuff in the MCU.
Nice.
It's connected.
That's going to be dope.
And the real key is going to be, the linchpin is going to be this new Doctor Strange movie. Because that's where you'll start realizing all the universes will get shifted.
So they were trying to introduce it in Far From Home, but then it ended up being holograms. But they're still going to end up...
It's there, but they're like, we're not going there yet. We're not, you're not ready. I mean, everything part of it is a phase, right? So we remember, I think this phase right now is they're trying to get you ready for... They're laying the groundwork for you to get ready for horror and for dimensional travel.
Nice.
So that's what I think you'll see out of the new stuff.
You think they're going to bring over Jessica Jones and Luke Cage?
I actually do, but not immediately. I think you'll get them in the phase five.
Okay. And right now it's phase four? Or the beginning of phase four?
And phase four, I would even say, is like phase one, where they just, you know, it's like technology. If you remember, phase one was just Tony Stark, and you're trying to prove the fact that this thing could work.
Right.
Right? They really hadn't figured out what environment it was.
Right.
It was like, let's put the feel of an iPhone around a guy's body and make him fly. And it worked.
Right.
Do you feel if they hadn't taken a chance on Robert Downey Jr., would that have been as successful as it was?
Hell no.
No way, right?
There's no way.
And it's crazy.
But also, to be fair, they also had Terrence Howard, and he doesn't give enough credit for his ability to bring people in.
But do you feel that for whatever reason they switched from him to Don Cheadle? Like, if Don Cheadle was in that first movie, would it still have been?
That still hasn't sat right with me. It still bothered me that they did that. I still am a little upset about the switchover of Edward into Mark Ruffalo. I do think Mark Ruffalo is the better Hulk, but I think the continuity thing has always been very important. So one thing that Marvel does that I don't like, for instance, the actress who played Minerva in Captain Marvel is going to come back and play a different character in the Eternals. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I remember you were saying something. There was... The lady that was in, was it Daredevil season 3?
I don't know. I didn't watch
it. Was it Luke Cage season 2?
Yeah, she was in Civil War.
Right, right.
Right, I hate that. But that's a different universe. That's not the same universe. Not the same universe.
The Defenders and all them, they will mention the stuff.
They'll mention it, but they call it the incident. They don't call it the attack on New York.
Right, oh, okay. I get it.
It's not the same universe. If it was the same universe, then you understand that, for example, Spider-Man is intimately involved in the plot of Daredevil. So in the comics, the Defenders is like, let me give an analogy. You're going to correct me because you watch more Giants baseball. The River Cats?
Mm-hmm.
Is the feeder to the Giants? It used to be the A's?
I think now it's, they moved them, though.
Yeah, they moved them.
Not that they moved them, but they switched teams.
They switched, right. Like the Sacramento. Sacramento's the River Cats, so they feed the Giants.
Yeah, okay.
And Fresno feeds A's, and it used to be the reverse.
Yeah.
Point is, that's what the Defenders have always been.
Okay.
So there's always been a pull in new Avengers out of that. So Spider-Man has always been, even though he's younger than
because
Daredevil.
He was a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
And he always takes him out for drinks and says, hey, let's talk about this. How was your day? How's this crime-fighting thing? Luke Cage becomes the ambassador to Wakanda.
Mm.
And his job is, they basically call him the ambassador of the Lost Tribe. His job is to explain to Wakanda how African-Americans work and the effect of slavery.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Which they kind of hinted at in Infinity War when you see Bucky Barnes. And he's like, how do you feel? Like, there's a whole... de-trauma kind of program that Wakanda starts trying to do to African Americans.
That's dope.
Jessica Jones, she rolls with Captain Marvel. They drink too much together.
Nice.
And they kind of adopt a little girl by the name of Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel, right?
Kamala Khan, right? We're going to work on her together. Bruce Banner has a younger cousin who is She-Hulk. So there's always been a relationship with that. And even in the comics, eventually, when Tony Stark is killed, Rhodey becomes the new Iron Man when Falcon becomes the new Captain America and Punisher becomes the new War Machine.
I heard that.
Which is so ill because it's just him wearing the suit with a big ass, like him wearing Rhodey's suit and it's black and white, but it's a giant skull on the suit, which you kind of saw a hint of that at Endgame. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, he spent hella time rolling with Black Widow and taking out Taskmaster. So, you kind of always seen the Defenders be the street-level guys that as they hang around the Avengers, their powers grow and they elevate. So, it's sort of like, I'm trying to think of the analogy, LFA feeding into UFC.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Like, once you get the championship, then you probably ain't going to defend it because they're going to call you up to the big leagues.
And now you're even seeing, now they're starting to give the hints of the horror stuff, of the stuff that goes into the sort of like, we deal with the supernatural, like Blade, Moon Knight, Ghost Rider, and what's the other dude? I know I'm missing one. But there's a bunch of supernatural kind of folks. It's like, but also this other girl, Elsa, like Bloodfinger or whatever, who's like a vampire hunter and stuff like that. You'll see more of that.
So what happened with that New Mutants that they were trying to do a horror movie with?
They just canceled. They're like, no, I quit. It's no hope. There's no hope. Because you got to think about, Dark Phoenix was like one of their worst failures ever. So once they bought this, they tried to fix it. And they're like, nope, I'm not. Nothing here at Fox works. In fact, you'll probably see Deadpool and that Doctor Strange, and it'll be like a woman. That's how they're going to shift everything up, because what you're going to see is the key will be the WandaVision show, and she's going to do something that messes up the universe at the end of it, and Doctor Strange is going to try to go fix it.
And when does that come?
Next year. We'll get the WandaVision show, I think, next year, but we don't get the movie until 2021.
So, riddle me this, okay.
Yes.
I get
last
that
riddle,
changing,
and then we got to go.
I get that they're changing into, like, a lot of more female characters. Why is it that the female Thor will be Natalie Portman when, as far as I understand, she was just a human that just messed with Thor? Like, why wouldn't it be somebody from Asgard?
Because Jane Foster has always, that's always been the character, that Jane Foster gets cancer. And Mjolnir selects who is worthy. And it goes to her. That's in the comics. That's what I'm saying. Everything you see in the MCU, this is not somebody in a writer's room like, hey, we got to be woke and get women. We got to make a black king. This is in the books. Read the books. This is the books. Which is, again, back to the Scorsese thing, which pisses me off. Read a comic. How is that any different than War and Peace? Why can we make a movie called Great Expectations and that's okay, but somebody else writing a comic, it's not counted as literature?
Because
it had pictures. Really? You mean like the hieroglyphs on the walls? You mean like the people thousands of years ago in France doing pictures of the things they hunted? That doesn't count?
Message.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You mean like the illuminated scripts that you find all over Europe talking about the Bible? Oh, that's okay. But the minute we take big pictures with lasers coming out of the hands, oh, that's for kids. Cool. Got it. Sounds like old. Sounds like old, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't understand kids' music nowadays. They just dance in their rap. You sound like an old man. That's what you sound like.
I'm an old man, Sonny.
You better go get involved. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to be that. I'm always going to be suspicious of those old men like, you don't do it like we do it. You're right. Look at your planet. Your planet's dying. Maybe we should do it like the young people. They recycle. Try that.
Right.
So that's my response. So Jane Foster gets cancer. And that's why.
And then the hammer heals her?
Yeah, turns her into Thor. So basically think about it this way. Thor is no longer really Thor. He's Odin now.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
His dad had one eye, he has one eye. His dad lost all his family, he lost his whole family, right? He's kind of bitter. You notice there's none of his brothers around. Remember in the beginning of Dark, when they told the story of the Dark Elves? The Dark World, how he's like, my older brother Boar fought the Dark Elves. You'll see his brother around. So he is his father now. He's Thor. He's the new Odin. So this is the story about the next generation taking over.
And so they're just not going to bring Beta Ray Bill in.
No, he's coming. They've guaranteed that between Thor, Taika Waititi has promised, between Thor and Guardians 3, you'll get Beta Ray.
Nice.
Yeah. And you're going to get Gore, the god butcher. You know, the symbiotes that make Venom?
The Venom and...
Imagine that symbiote touching one of the Asgardians. So he can make weapons out of his hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming. Oh, yeah, it's going to be ill. So I wouldn't be too worried about the... I know, Eli texts me all the time. I can't deal with this woke, progressive new MCU they keep promising. I'm like, what are you worried about, bro? You got daughters. Stop.
That guy's stubborn.
Stop. It hasn't even happened. I bet you he likes it even more because I have faith with Taika Waititi. That stuff was hilarious. I have faith. Kia ora. I have faith. But that's not even the one I'm most excited about. That's not even the one. I'm hell of excited about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Because the stuff
is that going to be a show or a movie?
It's a show. But the stuff they're going to do with Baron Zemo and the stuff they're going to do to set up Black Widow and like bring in the new version of Black Widow, that's going to be incredible.
It's a show, but the shows are like
45. Netflix. Yeah, 45 they're like
to an hour long.
No, they're 2 hours.
For the cast?
2 hour episodes, 6 to 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Dang. But it's going to be like a Netflix or a Hulu type deal?
No, Disney Play. So you can come over
and
watch.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, you know the ill part. You know the bundle? You should pay.
It has ESPN Plus in it.
Pay us!
It has ESPN Plus.
Kareem, pay us! I got people at Disney, but yeah.
The bundle's going to have Hulu included.
The 12. Hulu. In fact, I don't even mess. I'm going to be honest. I don't even mess with Star Wars. You know I don't mess with Star Wars no more. November 12th, I'm all about that Mandalorian show.
There's gonna be
John Favreau, the guy who did Iron Man.
Yeah,
he has a show called The Mandalorian about basically the race that Boba Fett is built off.
I heard that.
Yeah, and that's the first show they have. So you can come on over. You're more than welcome. We'll barbecue and watch Disney shows.
I'm like, I still haven't seen the last two Star Wars, but I haven't given up on it yet.
Everybody was so pumped about that last Skywalker, and I was like, this trailer is terrible. This movie is going to be horrific. Oh, we bringing back the Emperor. Didn't see that coming.
So do you think it's watered down because they used to come out like every, what was it, 3 or 5 years, and now it's like every year?
What, the Star Wars?
Yeah.
I think it's not that it's watered down. It's, again, it's the same problem. And like, I would say they bought something and they didn't have ability to control it and they don't have a Kevin Feige, but it's a fundamental lack of respect for the fan base. But again, the fan base is deeply confused. Let me ask you a question. You live near me. Have you ever noticed that people will drive past you with bumper stickers and it's got a stormtrooper on it and then they'll have something talking about resist, protesting the government?
Yeah. And what I find horrible is now they're turning it over to the guys who ruined Game of Thrones.
But they also gave you a TV show. And you have to remember, the whole premise of Game of Thrones as it was written was a book that could never be turned into a visual. And they did it for 7 seasons. They did it well.
Right.
But there was seven good seasons.
But once they passed where the source material was...
They still did 7 good seasons. Yes? Yes, right? Right?
I did.
So if you fight 3 rounds and you won 2 out of 3 rounds, right, you got the decision. Fair? Are you telling me the last round doesn't count against the others? Is that what you're saying? 7 good seasons, right?
Right.
So, yes, they're moving on.
But a lot of the debate has been once they got that contract, that's why they bum-rushed season 8.
I think that was HBO where they're like, milk it for 2. And they're like, okay.
No, HBO tried to give them a budget for 10 episodes for season 7 and 8. And they're like, nah, we don't need that many.
Right.
They're going to be all...
This is what I just said.
2 hours
HBO was
each.
Like, I need more. And they're like, yo, I can't stretch it this far. You want me to step on the Coke? Yeah, you want me to step on it?
That's the point. Is
there's
that
only so much I can put
felt
in.
Rushed at the end. And it's like...
That's HBO's fault, bro. That's HBO's fault.
I think that's their fault. Because if they would have did what HBO wanted them to do and stretched it out...
They did stretch it. That's why
it wouldn't have been rushed, and then people wouldn't have been pissed.
It wasn't that it was rushed. They ran out of materials. But we can't... He haven't even finished it. But they just... They stretched it too far, and that's why it was whack. You needed to end at season 7.
All I know is Stretch Armstrong was great, so I think they could have stretched it.
So, I mean, that's why. But I don't know. I don't care. I fundamentally don't care about Star Wars anymore. I'm done. Guardians of the Galaxy ruined it for me. All right. We will be back next month. We got some new stuff coming. We'll probably do a recording. Hey, are you joining us for the fight?
Yeah.
Do you want to try to do something with Adisa after the fight? Do like a smelling salts or something?
Okay.
Cool. We'll do a podcast afterwards. We love y'all. I'm going to go home to my beautiful wife. Hopefully, Brain can get us over the bridge in less than 3 hours. We will talk to you soon. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hey, next time we tape, we're going to try to do Twitter as well in this Periscope. We're trying to learn the technology. So bear with us. Thank you very much. God bless. Holler. Chill.